Women's participation in Papua New Guinea's parliament is struggling. Remarkably, since Papua New Guinea gained independence in 1975, only seven women have served in its national parliament. Currently, there are no female members. However, there is a silver lining. In 2017, record numbers of women contested Papua New Guinea's elections. And later this year, there will be another election for the national parliament. The question is, will we see those record numbers of women again? And who will be there to support them to a successful outcome? Hello, and welcome to the AusPNG Network's Women in Politics series, a Lowy Institute podcast where we talk about Papua New Guinea's pressing issues for women seeking greater political representation. My name is Jessica Collins. I'm a research fellow in the AusPNG Network and Pacific Islands program here at the Institute. And today, we're going to dive into the issues of political participation for Papua New Guinea women. I'm delighted to be speaking with Vagi Hemmetsberger from the Seven Sisters Foundation, which is a not-for-profit group aiming to address the problem of female representation in Papua New Guinea. Vagi, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you so much for the invite.
Now let's jump into it. According to the United Nations Development Programme, Papua New Guinea is ranked 161 out of 162 countries, so second last in that group, in the 2019 Index for Gender Inequality. One of its three indicators is political participation. And so Papua New Guinea's gender inequality seems to be playing out most visibly in its national parliament, where there are currently no women serving. Now, the name of your foundation, Seven Sisters, is a respectful nod to the seven incredible women who managed to break the mold and become female parliamentarians in Papua New Guinea. So then let's start with your foundation. What can you tell us about your story, or the story of the foundation, and how you came to be running a foundation to help women get elected?
Well, look, Seven Sisters Foundation started with a group of women who came together and decided that we needed to do something different from what had been happening. We decided that joining together to increase the number of women in parliament needed more of a sort of revolutionary movement. And so we decided that we'd come together and start something that could help directly impact female candidates running for national government.
That's a really interesting story, Vagi. Thanks so much for sharing us. So now let's dive in a little deeper into the foundation. What do you hope to achieve through Seven Sisters? What's the vision, and why is there this need for a foundation?
When you look at what a democracy is, we should be having every member of our population represented in our leadership. Sadly, we don't have that in our Papua New Guinean parliament currently. Women make up 48% of our population, and yet not one woman is represented in our parliament. So our vision is to increase and maintain the number of women in parliament in Papua New Guinea.
Those statistics are pretty damning, aren't they? So why is it so hard for women to get into politics in Papua New Guinea?
Well, I wish I had a straightforward answer for that. The problems range from systemic and institutional to cultural and traditional, and sadly, even to health and safety. I've found that an overarching problem, though, seems to be what is referred to as money politics. In Papua New Guinea, during candidacy, a term that a lot of people seem to throw around is these words, money politics, where there seems to be so much money floating around the economy during election times. So a case study was actually done where they found that in electorates where the male candidates were less generous, female candidates found that they had more of an equal playing field when it came to their campaigning.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the health and safety issues for women when they're trying to enter politics?
So unfortunately, in Papua New Guinea, law and order and gender-based violence in particular plays a big part in women running and standing for elections, the safety of them traveling into rough and rugged terrain plays an impact on their campaigning. And we've seen in research papers that I have read through that some women feel like when they enter into a community to campaign, sometimes if the culture there is so strong that they don't want women standing for elections, they're just sort of ignored by the community.
Wow. Yeah. That's really tough. That's really tough conditions for people who want to stand up and represent their community. I also wanted to ask you about what role families play in helping women get elected. Is it generally that families are quite supportive of women running for election, or is there also a bit of conflict when women decide to put their hand up?
Yeah, families in Papua New Guinea extend well beyond the mom, dad, three kids, a dog, two cats, and a goldfish portrait. A candidate who doesn't have the support of her family, unfortunately, and it pains me to say this, unfortunately is very negatively impacted in terms of her campaigning. Any man or woman who decides to stand for elections really, really needs the support of their community around them.
Do you know many women that have stood despite not having the support of their family and community?
I actually can't say that I do. The women that I know have stood with that support.
So clearly there are a lot of barriers to women standing for election. What do you think is going to happen this year with the elections coming up in a few months' time? Do you think we're going to have those record numbers of women standing again, or do you think those numbers will drop?
Oh, look, I'm hopeful. Nominations close on the 5th of May, so we won't know until then exactly how many women are standing. In August, I was told that there were 55 women registered to stand. I think by now it would have doubled. That is my hope anyway. I haven't been able to confirm the numbers as yet.
That's great. So hopefully those record numbers get up again for this election coming up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's clear that women need a lot of support to be able to be successful in these elections. What kind of support do you think they will be getting in this current election from organizations and from other programs?
Well, look, in Papua New Guinea, there are a lot of programs that help to upskill women and empower women, sort of prepare them for leadership roles. These are both grassroots programs, private business programs, and aid agency programs. I think what we've found with Seven Sisters when we've been doing our research and talking to various people who are currently running such programs, we've found that once the upskilling and the workshops have been completed, the women are left wanting to stand for elections, but not having the specific resources that they need to do it to be able to compete with their male counterparts.
Okay, so can you tell us about the Pathway to Politics program? Is that something that's been run by the UN?
Currently there is a leadership academy being run by the UN Women in Port Moresby in partnership with PLAG, and they're currently running a pilot program with 19 women who have I think completed it now.
Great. And how's that going? What are the results like from that program?
To be honest, I'm not sure what is happening right now with the results from that program. It was only just recently, 2 weeks ago, that Seven Sisters was able to address the 19 women and tell them a bit about what Seven Sisters has in store for 2022. But as to where it's at right now and whether they've finished and graduated from it, I'm not too sure.
And so what does Seven Sisters have in store for 2022?
Yeah, so for 2022, we are setting a goal to have 1,000 members sign on to our membership, our individual membership that Seven Sisters will be offering.
That's amazing. 1,000 members is pretty big. How do you think you'll get to that number?
So our plan is to focus on building our membership base by marketing, telling people about, you know, Seven Sisters Foundation. We believe that the women in Papua New Guinea are supporting what we have set out to do. From the people that we have spoken to, we have their support already. It's just finalizing the details of how they can get on and sign on as members.
So what will be the community response to membership? You know, is there sort of a model like this already in place? Is membership something that Papua New Guinean women will be interested in doing?
Yeah, to be honest, I have not found an organization that has required members, financial members, an organization that is doing what we're doing, where we're wanting women to take ownership of Seven Sisters Foundation. Us as co-founders, we cannot do the work ourselves. We want our men and women to sign on, take ownership, be members, and be a part of the solution, be a part of finding a way to increase the number of women in Parliament.
I think that's a really interesting point that you've just raised there, though, Vagi. I love that you want to have men involved in the program as well. So how do you see that playing out?
So far, we have had only positive feedback from the men that we have spoken to. We believe that partnering together with our men is necessary. We're not trying to push men to the side. We're not trying to trample over men. We definitely want to work alongside men. And I think the only way to do it is together.
That's fabulous. I really love that approach. And what about business, Vagi? Will business be involved in this, or will this be sort of a community-based membership?
No, we will. So we have our individual memberships, but we will also be offering our partner memberships, and that would be more for our business supporters.
And so how is this going to be set up across Papua New Guinea? Are you going to have outreach in communities and urban centres or rural areas? How is this going to work in the communities?
We're still working out how many members we want to have in order to establish what we're calling our hubs. So basically in each province, our aim is to have one hub or more hubs should the membership base increase. And so from our hubs is where we will be able to do basically all the work that we have set out to do, which is our advocacy work, our education work, resourcing the candidates that are working in those hubs.
Okay, so it seems like a large part of the foundation will be providing resources to women. What role will bank accounts play in this? And will you have to consider, you know, barriers to inclusion in digital finance? So in other words, would you have to set up bank accounts for women in your program so that they can receive financial support or resources?
Yeah, that is something that we're definitely working through. We're in talks with some of the banking institutes back in Papua New Guinea, and we need to be able to provide a platform for the community and the women in the community who do want to support Seven Sisters by becoming financial members and also receive any sort of resources from Seven Sisters should they wish to run for candidacy. So our banking institute partners will be able to help us iron out anything that needs to be addressed.
That's really exciting. What about other resources? What other resources will be needed to help support women in their campaigning?
We are also looking at technology. So just in terms of internet and visibility, getting candidates to be more visible on social platforms, but also through media as well, mainstream media. I mean, we've found in the past, research has shown that in the past there has been less visibility for women standing for elections in mainstream media. So our focus would be to improve their visibility, both on mainstream, but also through any other devices in terms of technology and social platforms.
That's great. What about advocacy? Will you be, working on the advocating for women to have the support of political parties? Will you be advocating for political parties to include quotas, or will you simply just be helping them to raise their profile in the media?
So our advocacy will focus on, one, on the community, so bringing awareness and education on voting, how to vote, you know, wisely, whether your name is on the electoral roll, are the correct names on the electoral rolls, and those type of details in terms of getting the number of votes and the right voters to help our candidates. We also will be focusing our advocacy on just improving the visibility of the women in terms of political parties, upskilling the women and providing any or filling in any gaps that they need to improve their visibility so that political parties, you know, come running to them and want to endorse them rather than the other way around.
So I'd like to turn now to talking more about political parties and women running for as independents. Is there a problem for women running as independents because they have less funding, and would they get more funding from being part of a political party?
So it has been established that when a candidate is endorsed by a political party, they have the backing of the political party, both in financial resources and also in numbers. So when a candidate goes out to a village to campaign, usually, you know, heavy members of the political party will go along with. So what's happened is that we've found in case studies, we've found that oftentimes the women who are endorsed by political parties don't actually get the backing, resources or otherwise from the political party that has endorsed them.
That's really hard. So they're still facing barriers once they get into political parties too.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay, so it seems like funding and resource support is a significant issue for women trying to get into national parliament as a representative. What about the Papua New Guinea or Australian governments? Are they supportive of programs to build leadership and experience there at the local, in Papua New Guinea, at the local, provincial, or national level? And do you think that they will be supportive of your foundation?
Well, we do hope that the Australian and the Papua New Guinean government will be supportive. We haven't directly sought any funding or support from them as yet. We plan to be a member-based organization for reasons such as sustainability, so that we don't rely on one-off government grants, but we would obviously accept grants, but we don't want to base our whole program and our advocacy work on just the grants from the government. So we're looking at longevity and sustainability for Seven Sisters.
I think that really comes back nicely to what you were saying before about the point of difference of your foundation is that you provide those sort of long-lasting programs that don't withdraw support for women that feel empowered and able to participate in these processes. In-person support or mentorship would likely be another big source of support for women. Will the foundation be providing providing introductions to mentors or, those sort of networks that are so important for women? And if so, who would they likely be? Would they be former politicians, men or women, local, people from Australia? What are you thinking about that space?
Yeah, so in that space, that would be part of our Pathway to Politics program. So the Pathway to Politics program was brought to Australia by the Trawella Foundation. They have the same belief as Seven Sisters, which is to increase the number of female leaders in the country. So the Truella Foundation brought the American Harvard Square to the Oval Office program to Melbourne University in 2015, localized it and called it the Pathway to Politics program. Both QUT and Melbourne programs aim to increase the representation of women in Australian politics. And with Papua New Guinea, Seven Sisters believe that if this program is adopted and localized for our environment, our people, it will, like other countries, change the representation of women in PNG politics and improve the bottom line. Through the Pathway to Politics program, we will have an aspect of that is mentorship. And all of the above, all of the things that you mentioned, or the kinds of people that you mentioned, will be part of our mentorship base.
Yeah, that's really great. I've also been really inspired by the great work of Carol Kidu as well, doing some fabulous work on the ground to help women get elected across Papua New Guinea for this upcoming election. And I think that's really important to have those role models as well. And obviously she's one of the Seven Sisters that is referred to in the name of your foundation. I'd like to ask about the community hubs that you were talking about before, and what you think would be the, let's say, qualifying criteria for women to participate in your program. So would they need to be exhibiting leadership skills or already be in a leadership role or just expressing a desire to be a leader? Or will you be seeking out these women that are showing leadership skills?
Currently, we're still working through what the criteria will be. We've definitely agreed that the criteria will be both qualitative and quantitative.
And what do you mean by qualitative and quantitative? Can you just expand on that for us, please?
Yeah, so we will be relying on our hubs to give us information about the women in the community. And so there are many women who actually run for very local leadership roles in terms of the wards in the villages. And a lot of those women don't have the, they don't have the support to move any further than the local level ward member. And so we would rely on our hubs to be able to tell us about these kinds of women. So you don't have to have a degree to go through the Pathway to Politics program, if that was what the question was meaning. We will be relying on our hub leaders and our hub leadership group to be able to tell us about the women in their community and their leadership qualities and whether they would be interested in running or not.
Well, thanks so much, Vagi. And on a final note, do you think that women's representation will improve after this election? And what will it take to move things faster? Do you think that reserve seating or quotas in political parties should be considered?
So our efforts to improve women's representation must be strategic and calculated. I think women's civil groups need to work strategically with policymakers. And if Seven Sisters Foundation can forge and foster this kind of a relationship between policymakers and women's civil groups, then whether it be reserve seats or quotas on political party endorsements, we will increase the number of women in our government because we're stronger together.
Thank you so much, Vagi. It's so exciting, the work that Seven Sisters is doing, and really important too for women's political participation in Papua New Guinea. Thank you so much for taking the time to discuss such an important topic with me. You've been listening to the AusPNG Network's Women in Politics series, a Lowy Institute podcast developed with production assistance from Darcy Milne and Josh Goading. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to joining you for the next episode.